And our special guest, Daniel Estulin. This hour, we'll take phone calls with Daniel as we're talking about the Bilderberg Group. We're talking about globalism and all these other strange things that have been happening with his perspective. But let's get your calls on it when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Daniel Estulin. We'll take your calls as well. Daniel, without pointing blame on any of this, the biggest effect, though, this is going to affect one way or another the 2020 presidential election. What's your take on that if, one, the coronavirus that we're going through right now, shutdowns and things, continues into the November election? What's your prediction there?
Well, I think, again, if you kind of look at the two candidates, Trump and Biden, again, not speaking badly of the man because I'm not American, so I don't really care who wins. But the point is that Biden, obviously, you know, intellectually, he's slipping. Some people saying he has dementia. I don't know if he does. I'm not a doctor. Obviously, he doesn't, hasn't looked sharp for a very long time. I don't think in face-to-face it can be Donald Trump. Whether it's bad or not, again, it's not for me to decide. What if I'm the Democrat, I'm obviously going to try to do everything in my power to make sure the elections, if they're held, you know, not at the ballot box, but you can actually vote via internet. I know that you can do lots of hanky-panky via internet. So, again, this will be the Democrats' way of trying to win the elections. And again, as I said earlier, if the Chinese and the liberal banking financiers, the deep state, are working together to dislodge Trump, this would be a strategy because, again, because of the global financial collapse, the liberal financiers, they know if the collapse happens, and it will, they will take the blame. So by overturning the table board, the game board, and trying to create global chaos, they're hoping to, again, recover power under a different set of circumstances. So what I see from now on, from here on, to November elections. But again, if you actually look at the numbers of Americans unemployed, I think the latest statistics is what, 26 million people.
Yeah, and it's going to go higher. It's going to go, if this keeps up, it's going to go higher.
Well, again, if you look at the actual numbers, you know, just Google the number of unemployed in America. That's about 100 million people out of job. You have 130 million people who are on prescription drugs. You have 26 million unemployed now over the past month. If that number goes to 30%, as Bloomberg and some other media and financial media are saying, we're looking at, because I think there's 164 million of working Americans. So that's about 50 million unemployed. Okay. You also have 50 million Americans, that's before the crisis, who survived thanks to the coupons. You have 25 million Americans who are alcoholics in the United States.
Well, and I read today, Daniel, that a lot of the credit card companies are going to start lowering the credit limit that they have extended to people who unfortunately need their credit cards to live on because they're out of work.
George, let me tell you something. I come from the Soviet Union, and, you know, it's, imagine this. We go to sleep one day in a country called the Soviet Union, and we wake up the next day in a country called Russia. In other words, overnight, we lost a country. We lost a flag. We lost a constitution. We lost our currency. And suddenly, you know, we lost all our money that we had in the bank because literally overnight, 40% of former Soviet citizens lost everything that had ever saved. Between 1989 and 1996, that's a seven-year span.
Jeez.
25 million Russians committed suicide, drank themselves to death, shot themselves, jumped off buildings. The United States is about 30 years behind in this sense, behind Russia. What happened to us in 1991 is coming to America and then to Western Europe right now. The problem is we, those who came from the Soviet Union, we suffered the, you know, the blockade of Leningrad. We survived that. We lost 27 million people in Second World War in fighting against the Nazis. The United States only lost 300,000 people, but it's not 27 million. What I'm trying to say is we understand what suffering is all about. The United States, and it's not to put blame on anyone, I'm just saying that people in America see this kind of stuff on Hollywood, in Hollywood films. It happens somewhere there, be it in the Middle East, be it in Africa, be it, you know, Southeast Asia, be it in Russia, or somewhere there. There is far away from the United States, except that that's far away there is coming home. And America is not prepared for what's coming because, again, if you look at the bread lunch right now, at the people who don't have any money saved up whatsoever, I think America doesn't understand the scope of the crisis, George, as we are discovering, is simply beyond one's comprehension. Our effort to address an entirely new set of life-threatening issues, it runs the risk of being seen for what they are, not lipstick on a pig, but lipstick on a corpse. So whatever is coming at us at a light speed, and we may not have the luxury of an organized retreat. The system is absolutely broken, and it's broken for reasons far greater than what we used to call corruption. It cannot be fixed when an unprecedented economic collapse is smashing down every wall between humanity and the unthinkable. Now, what are the stages of this collapse? Again, we've gone through this. We've been there. We've done that. We've seen. We've got the T-shirt, the souvenir, the fridge magnet, and the plate. The first stage, it's a systemic breakdown that will cripple America's economy. The country comes to a screeching halt. No welfare checks, no Social Security, no health care benefits, no food stamps for the poor, and no money to pay for the 3.5 million or four, I don't know how many million government employees there are in America. This scenario is that, that panic will, within a few days, drive prices significantly skyward. And as supplies can no longer meet demand, the market, George, will become paralyzed at prices too high for the wheels of commerce and even daily living. The trucks will no longer pull into the food stores. The shelves will be all but empty. Hoarding and uncertainty will trigger violence and chaos. Police and military will be able to maintain order for a very, very short time, if at all. Consumers will stop paying their bills and going to work, and this will be the second stage. The poor, George, will be the first to suffer, and they will suffer the most. They will begin to die, and that's the final stage. It's very difficult and very painful to accept this reality, but you know what? Mother Nature does not grant timeouts. You know, so much emphasis has been placed upon false priorities that the true issues have been obscured, and politics have come to mean the crafty and cunning selflessness as we see today, politicians, you know, benefiting at the cost of all these people, losing their lives, losing their livelihoods, losing their families, losing their homes, instead of candid and sincere service. Politics is not an end, it's the means. So basically, to summarize, knives are coming out and points of no return are fast approaching. And in short order, George, we will know whether the United States and also the rest of the world lives or dies. What's more, we will know whether civilized society is an option in the long run or whether it's an untenable dream. And if it's not, then the barbarians will break down the gates and they will bring with them mighty appetites. And you know what? The problem is we have no plan B.
We have no plan B
for this. And we also have no plan C or plan D. It's too late for that. Progress is what brings light out of darkness, civilization out of disorder, prosperity out of poverty. And all of these essentials are being challenged and threatened in the United States, in Canada, in Western Europe, in Russia, in China, all over the world. It is up to us to decide very short term what will come of us as civilization and society.
Let's take some calls. Daniel, well said, by the way. Bill, truck driving in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, Daniel, first I should say I am very far left on the American political spectrum, okay? I am so far left, I am irrelevant, all right? And I argue with a Trump supporter at my work from time to time. And back in December, he said, you know, hey, liberal, we're saying Merry Christmas again, which of course is ridiculous because I have nothing against saying Merry Christmas. But what I told him is I said, well, it's all about civets and crates. And he's like, what's a civet? I said, it's a cat that looks like a raccoon, and it's got a disease. It's a cat in Asia, and that disease is coming here. And he listens to left-wing pundits more than I do, just to get mad, to get his blood pressure up, I think. But he told me, he said, look, you're crazy, guy. He said, it came out of a pangolin. Well, they just found cats now. They found two cats.
Two cats in New York. That's right.
Yep. So my point is I've known about this since December. But what I'm thinking is I'm pretty sure Kim Jong-un in North Korea, I think he's going to die from corona symptoms and, you know, complications from coronavirus. And North Korea is going to collapse. And that's going to put American forces, Chinese forces, and Russian forces right in close proximity, and it's just going to be a grind. It's just going to grind whatever's remaining down to nothing. And what we're going to have is massive depreciation, and those that have cash reserves, they're going to buy up everything. But my big question is this. Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, and Chairman Xi, do you believe that they are lieutenants or functionaries of the Bilderbergers? Thank you.
No. Bilderberg has nothing to do with this. Bilderberg is an element of the liberal banking financier structures. Bilderberg, again, in the last elections in the United States, which were held in 2016, and you had Hillary Clinton representing one side and Trump representing the other. Hillary Clinton does not represent the Democratic Party. And what's his name? Trump does not represent the Republican Party because, again, I remind you that all the heavyweights in America's Republican Party politics all voted for, most of them, for Hillary Clinton, Bush father, Bush son, Romney, John McCain, et cetera, et cetera.
Why they didn't want Donald Trump to be president.
Well, of course. Well, the reason they didn't want Donald Trump is because if you kind of go back to 1944, between 1944, that's Bretton Woods, and 1991, you have two economic models. You had capitalist West, and then you had socialist Soviet Union and the satellites. And these two models fought fairly well between 1944 and 1991. Then in 1991, these two models merged into one global liberal banking financier model based on the concept of infinite growth on a finite planet. Okay? And that model was universal. And it was based, as I said before, you print the dollars in the United States, you send it abroad to the countries, expand the control of global economy and also the influence of dollar. That's the Bretton Woods economic model. So that lasted between 1991 and 2008. In 2008, the model collapsed. So now we don't have a model. But the point I'm trying to make is Hillary Clinton represented in the last elections the liberal banking financiers. Who are these people? These are the intelligence agencies, the Hollywood, Silicon Valley, the bureaucracy of Washington, the mainstream media, the banking cartels, the financiers. These are the people behind Hillary Clinton. So the Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Pinay Circle, Bohemian Grove, the Federal Reserve, the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, European Union, European Central Banks, all of these institutions are part of the liberal banking financier model. Trump, I don't care whether you like him or not, it's absolutely irrelevant. And again, I am not a pro-Trump supporter. I was born in the Soviet Union. I'm from a different world. So my point, although I live in Canada right now, so my point is that Trump is not a person. I'm not saying he's an extraterrestrial shapeshifter. I'm saying that he is a face of an alternative group. It doesn't mean he's a good guy or he's a bad guy or he's a mid-sized guy. It just means he is an alternative to the liberal banking financiers. He represents the nationalists, the industrialists. And for a very long time, these people who had Trump as their, face of their group, they had no chance of winning the elections in the United States because, again, over the last 50 years, you had liberal banking financiers president. You had Ford, you had Carter, you had Reagan, you had et cetera. It doesn't matter what parties. It's not about parties. It's about the economic model. The fight is not between the Republicans and the Democrats because they both represent the same global liberal banking parasitical model. So it doesn't matter who you elect. And Bilderberg is part of the system. Trump, Putin, and Xi Jinping, they're the alternative. In fact, Trump and Putin, they're both right conservatives. Putin may be a bit less right than Trump, but they're both right conservatives. Putin's not a communist. He's not a socialist. He's a right-wing conservative. And so is Xi Jinping. He's a right-wing nationalist. Because if you kind of look at the division, what's right-wing conservatism? That's the United States, that's China, that's India, that's the Vatican, that's the Arab world, the Muslims. What's right-wing liberal? That's European Union. What is today's liberalism? What does it mean? If democracy, there's an old joke, if democracy is the rule of the Democrats, liberalism is ruled by the bankers. Not in the traditional sense of liberalism, Voltaire's liberalism, but in today's world, liberalism, which has only been around since Reaganomics in 1981, where anything goes, where there are no responsibilities, where you can steal as much as you can, wash your hands clean, and basically do whatever you want. And this model has worked for two generations. Now it's broken. And the problem that these people have right now, the liberal banking financiers, who've destroyed the global economy, and today that model is on its deathbed, the question is, now what? And this is something that no one knows because, again, for the first time in a very, very long time, in over the last several centuries, we don't have a model.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
Nobody does. No, I mean the world. You see, George, what's happening right now over the last 2,000 years has only happened twice. I mean, we're living through a historical time. The first time something like this happened was between the 4th and the 6th centuries when the old Roman Empire collapsed and the new world was born, in other words, feudalism. And the second time was between the 16th and the 17th centuries when feudalism collapsed and capitalism came about. Well, this is the end of that model, and we have nothing to replace it with. And so what's going to happen over the next year or so, maybe a little bit more, maybe a year after the next election, whoever wins the elections in the United States...
If there is an election, Daniel, what if they postpone it?
Maybe, exactly. Okay, if they do postpone it, this is going to be the work of the liberal banking financiers because they know if there's an election, Trump wins. Okay, and they can't afford to have it because Trump will dismantle the liberal order because he's done a pretty good job dismantling them thus far. Because, again, Trump, when he became president with two very concrete objectives in mind. One, dismantling of the Bretton Woods model, and the second, dismantling of the petrodollar, which is, again, a model of his enemies, the liberal banking financiers. And today, oil going to zero, as we talked about in the beginning of the program, is an indication that the war is not against oil, but against the dollar. And that's what Trump is doing, is regionalizing the economies. Because after countries comes the regionalization. And in fact, Brexit and also BRICS, they were the BRICS, the first attempt to create regionalized economy, and Brexit is another. Okay, so this is basically what's coming. But Trump, Xi Jinping, and Putin, they're not part of the of any Bilderberg organization because they are the opposite team. They are on a different team. They represent different interests. They're nationalists.
Are we dealing with, we're coming up on the break, but we'll take more calls when we come back. Are we dealing with a virus that was concocted to do what you've been saying the last 30 minutes? Or is this a fluke of nature?
I don't think. You know, I don't believe in flukes of nature. There's a saying in
nature. Nor do I.
If a leaf falls somewhere or a star lights up in the sky, it's because someone somewhere wanted that star to light up or a leaf to fall down. There are no coincidences. They're well and badly planned operations. That's how the intelligence world works.
And maybe they did expect this to go worldwide as quickly as it did?
Well, you know, again, the thing is that what you're seeing is, George, is the new version of hybrid warfare. If you remember the old Gene Sharp manuals, the color revolutions, you know, the pores back in the, you know, 1980s and 1990s, you know, that's gone. That's been, you know, that's passé now. Now we're in hybrid warfare 6.0, which is bacteriological and biological, and they can pinpoint and kill, you know, by race, by creed, by color, by age group, by, you know, by the area of the earth, using the haplogroups, using the DNAs. They can do that right now.
Yeah, they can pinpoint that. Daniel, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and take final calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, psychic Mark Nelson joins us as we talk about the other side, and then he will do some readings in our final hour on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to come back with final phone calls with Daniel Estulin as we talk about the world events that are happening right now. And welcome back, Daniel Estulin with us. We're here with our final calls. Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Michael, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Thank you a lot. Daniel, I heard you earlier today on National Public Radio. They said you were talking to them from Israel. Is that correct?
I haven't talked to National Public Radio ever.
Well, that's an amazing, amazing thing. The wife of Mitch McConnell goes under the name Elaine Chao. She was appointed by Trump to be our Secretary of Transportation. She's a billionaire heiress. She sits on the board of the Bank of China. And she also sits on a board of another organization there where all the top leaders are members of the Chinese army. Now, to tell you a little bit about my background, the reason that Richard Nixon and Billy Graham got together in 1968 was because of research which I produced and made available to both the Democrats and the Republicans. They tried during the first few years when I was close to high officials in both parties. They tried for the first few years to have me prepare to run as president. Now, what I'm about to tell you will sort of cut the legs out from under what you have said here. And it is this. In 1981, or 1980, when Jerry Falwell in Dallas, Texas, gave the christening to Ronald Reagan, he did so on the behalf of the religious roundtable, which was headed up by Pat Robertson here in Virginia Beach, where I am, and James Robinson, who was described at the time to be the next Billy Graham. Now, the reason why Trump is president today is because Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell had groomed the governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, to be the next unbeatable Republican candidate, and that was for 2016. Now, what the Russians did was they got together, and remember, I've been on both sides of this party for over 50 years. I mean, I've been on high inside with both parties for more than 50 years. What they did was they got Obama, the Obama administration, to bring a false charge against McDonnell.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What's your question?
Well, I know you have no idea. That's why I'm coming out from under you.
We probably have about 5 minutes left, and there's a whole bunch of people who want to ask questions. What's your question?
Here's the point. You don't understand America. You can't tell us what our destiny is. And I've been on the high inside of both parties, and I will announce the solution to the problem which you describe and have no ability.
Well, God bless you. I hope that's the case.
We open up the phone lines, Daniel, to anybody, so I hope you accept that.
George, do you think it's going to be possible before we finish the show? I just want to very quickly tell people about the webinar that I have coming up next week.
Yeah, do that now, and then we'll go back for final calls.
Okay. April 29th, I have a webinar which will deal with what we're dealing with right now, post-coronavirus world. What's this going to look like? What do we need to do as society? What do we need to do as Americans, as Canadians? How can we save our families, et cetera, et cetera? The roadmap. People, if you're interested in signing up, go to VIPseminars.org. VIPseminars.org. It's April 29th. A lot of the things we discussed today, we're going to expand on. And it's going to be a webinar in English, April 29th, VIPseminars.org.
Super. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hi, Dylan. Daniel, two quick questions. The umbrella of this media, I'm wondering how much of it is China. You know, Washington Post has ties with China, especially when they were, you know, foaming at the mouth against Russia. Is that actually coming from China to a degree through
the
virus
itself?
Joe, go ahead.
Are you talking about the virus itself? I didn't hear what
you said. No, I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about the media ties in the U.S., the mainstream media, to China.
If you're looking at the media cartels, it's the people who run the military-industrial complex are the same corporations that control mainstream media, not only in the United States, but globally.
whether you're talking about the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN or Fox, or Le Monde in France, the CBC in Canada, BBC in England, El País in Spain. It doesn't matter. All of these mainstream media corporations are controlled by the same interests. So in the end, one of the reasons you're getting the information you're getting is because all of the mainstream media is controlled. There's no such thing as independent press. I think we've actually, you know, finally are figuring it out. Kind of look at any coverage. It's uniform everywhere, especially right now. If you kind of ask yourself, how is it possible that they were able to lock up 5.5 billion people on the planet Earth without anybody whispering, saying a peep? You know, George, it reminds me of Brave New World. Huxley, who centered on the scientific methodology for keeping all populations outside the elite minority in a permanently, what do they call it, autistic-like condition, actually in love with their servitude.
I think what's so amazing, Daniel, is how every country just started falling into line with each other to lock down their own populations. It was amazing.
Well, it's not very difficult. Again, if you kind of think about how this works, if you control the media, okay, and you can buy World Health Organization. It's not very difficult to do. 28% of funding of World Health Organization is done by member states. The rest, 72%, comes from private interests. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Soros, et cetera, et cetera. So if you kind of look again, go back in history, whether it's the Brave New World, we're talking about Huxley, we're talking about Russell, we're talking about H.G. Wells, whether we're talking about, you know, an open conspiracy or one world brain functioning as a police of the mind, we're talking, remember what Huxley said back in California Medical School in San Francisco, I think it was 1961. There will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, and producing a kind of painless concentration camp for the entire society so that people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to repel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this, according to these people, seems to be the final revolution. And this, again, it's absolutely appalling how in 3.5 weeks or a month or 5 weeks, whatever it has been, we have given up thousands of years of our forefathers fighting for our freedom, dying in the name of future generations. And we have given it away, thrown it away for nothing. And this is what we have to fight for right now. We have to fight the media, we have to fight the deep state, and we have to fight for what we lost. Because they, meaning the elite, they will never give it back to us. And that goes back to what this gentleman was saying about the media. The media globally is controlled by the same people. Because this should be their first priority. Stand up for the First Amendment.
But they're not. They enjoy the lockdowns.
The global liberal banking financier cartel.
Let's
their interests are not our interests.
Let's go back to Joe for a second quick question. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, on Africa. Two part. You said Libya was pivotal. That's an African nation. Could you elaborate on that? And also, when these foundations say, oh, we're helping these poor people in Africa, what are they really doing? I don't believe that they care about these people in Africa.
They don't care about them at all, obviously. Again, we're talking about, if you kind of look what they're doing in Africa, it's the same thing that the World Health Organization has been working on, which is, needless to say, vaccines. The vaccines have very little to do with actually helping people. It has more to do with killing people and controlling population. If you kind of go back to 1974, that's Henry Kissinger, that's Memorandum 200. They talk about it openly. I can't remember what page it is. I think it's page 24, 25. It said in black and white, you know, by the year 2000, the objective is to reduce the world's population by 3 billion people. It hasn't happened. We're 8 billion right now, or 9 or 10, whatever it is that we are. But the point is, with these bacteriological weapons today, you can eliminate the entire swath of the population, be it in Africa, be it in Asia, be it anywhere in the world. And this is the next war. The future wars, they're not going to be nuclear wars. They're not going to be wars between countries and armies.
No, they don't want to destroy the infrastructure or make it uninhabitable.
The problem that they have, again, the new The sixth techno-paradigm is not a buy-in for cognitive. That's trans-evolution. That's post-evolution. That's transhumanism. This is the robotics, the artificial intelligence, the world of virtual reality. And this is the world that we are looking, you know, staring at right now. And this world is coming at us very fast. And over the next couple of years, it will be here, and we are not prepared for it.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hi, Corny. Go ahead.
All right, George. Daniel, you're a prophet. I don't know if you read the Bible. Like I tell everybody, I'm
the
old man, the Bible bullets and beans man, telling everybody to get ready. George, that guy Michael, that guy, he's one of those disinformation, misinformation guys. So I don't know what he was trying to do with Daniel. I'm glad, Daniel, you didn't answer that guy.
What he's trying to do is make himself look important. We gave him some time, and we went out to other people wanting to ask questions.
Okay. My question for you, since you're saying all this stuff, and I, like I said, I believe in the Bible and stuff, and it's going just the way the Bible says is going. Will this be, get ready for this vaccine, will it be the mark of the beast? So that's my question. God bless you, Daniel. I listened to your seminar.
Thank you so much, sir. Again, coronavirus is the door to the fourth vaccination. It's big data. It's the new electronic passport. Way back when you mentioned, George, we started talking about the Bilderberg. It's actually the first time I was on your show. It was back in the year 2007 when my book came out on the Bilderbergers in the United States. And, you know, we talked in my book on the Bilderbergers, published in America in 2001. We talked about this concentration camp of the tears. We talked about these electronic passports. We talked about forced vaccinations. And people called me insane and called me a conspiracy theorist. We have 6 billion people locked up in their homes. Who is the conspiracy theorist today? And again, if you're listening to what they're doing right now, in the very near future, if you're going to want to eat, get married, die in peace, buy a house, you know, take money out of the bank, get a loan, or buy a new car, you're going to have this new electronic passport. They're already trying it out in China. They're trying it out in Vietnam.
That's the sign of the beast, isn't it?
Well, it's whatever you call it, not everyone believes in God. I believe in God, but not everyone does. But the point is, what you're looking at right now, this is globally. And as you said before, all these countries are falling into. Why are they doing that? For very simple reason. Because a new world is being born right from our eyes. And in this new world, all the countries, they're going to have to play this game. And if they don't belong, they're going to be excluded from this new world that's coming to the fore. And again, control over everyone. It is amazing, again, how in weeks it's unfathomable. We have given up our freedom for what? Accepted what? What have we been given in return? Nothing.
Well, we got to take it back, Daniel, and it's got to happen pretty soon.
We've got to take it back. It's not going to be easy, and people are going to die. But if we want to be free or have our children who will be free, we've got to do it for them.
It's going to take some gutsy governors, because this isn't even a presidential mandate. It's going to take some gutsy governors from our states to say, we are opening up.
You know, in this sense, America has always led the world in many different ways. You know, Russians, we're not America's enemies. Russia, we admire the United States for a lot of things. And so all the stuff coming through the media, you know, that the Soviet Union, that Russia, we hate the United States, that's not the case. We have always admired the United States. We have all admired your freedoms. We admire things that America has done. We have admired your technology, your know-how, your ability to create things.
We were allies in World War II.
We were your allies in the revolution. We were your allies in the Civil War. We were fighting with the United States against the British Empire. We are not America's enemies. So if somebody's going to lead, it's the United States of America will have to lead by example, and the rest of the nations will join. But without America's leadership, we are lost.
Daniel, take 30 seconds. Mention your webinar. Go ahead.
Again, it's April 29th. Go to the webpage, vipseminars.org. It's my webinar on the world post-coronavirus, post-COVID-19.
We need to do an update in the next few weeks, Daniel, real quick, just to see how things are going. And
count on that.
Enjoy your stay in Mexico. Stay safe, okay?
Take care, sir.
Daniel Estulin. Up next, Mark Nelson, psychic, joins us. We're going to talk about the other side. Wait till you hear his incredible story about what happened to him. It's very emotional, but it's a true story, and we'll get into that in a moment. And then we'll do readings about you in our last hour here on Coast to Coast AM.